Well, hello again. This is Mace Hara for the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the free podcast for medical sales professionals. I've been getting a lot of calls lately from medical sales professionals who've been in their territories for several years or more, and they're looking for some insight on what the future is going to hold for medical sales. Specifically, the question is the rep model changing? And we are already seeing where it is. Definitely changing in some parts of the industry, most notably in the orthopedic recon area. Recently, we've heard about hospitals, and it's been going on for a couple of years, but it's really becoming more common, where hospitals are hiring their own in-house orthopedic device technicians. In other words, these are people who are trained by the device manufacturers, usually, who will manage the implant devices, the instruments during any surgical procedures. So essentially, the hospitals now that are going to this repless model have personnel in-house who essentially do the same job that the orthopedic sales reps did when they came in to cover cases. The writing is very much on the wall with this, ladies and gentlemen. If you work in the recon area, if you work in any area of operating room sales, the idea is to get the rep out of the operating room. Now, why is that? Certainly, hospitals will tell you, well, it lowers the infection rate. It reduces our liability because sometimes patients don't know that there is a rep present during their surgery. They haven't consented to it on the operating room or the surgical consent. So it helps to reduce liabilities in those areas. Let's be honest. The real reason is because of cost savings. Hospitals want to save money. If you could eliminate the sales representative, in other words, eliminate that person who is paid a commission, usually a healthy commission of several percent of the cost of the implant, if you could eliminate that person, then you can save money. And some hospitals are claiming to be saving 50% of the cost of implants. That is incredibly significant. So I think it's clear to say that this model, we're going to see more of it, not less. But this goes back to something that I've been talking about for years, and I often discuss this when I'm speaking for orthopedic companies, spine companies, that there's a big conundrum in this industry where sales reps become mired in case coverage. In other words, the surgeons want them in the operating room on every surgery, which takes the sales representative's time away from doing what that sales representative is really paid to do, and that is to sell. Now, some sales representatives will argue, well, I sell when I'm in the operating room. Well, maybe you do, but you probably don't, because when you're in the operating room, most surgeons are focused on the surgery, and many hospitals will not allow reps to sell in the operating room. If you're caught in this kind of behavior, you're going to be asked to stop, or you might be asked to leave. So essentially, a sales representative, a high-paid sales representative who is in the operating room to help a surgeon get through a surgery, that is all that he or she is doing. You're focused on getting them through the surgery. In other words, you are a case coverage technician. Now, here's what I've told groups for many, many years. I'm not trying to insult anyone, but if all you're doing is going into the operating room and covering a surgery, in other words, saying, well, here's the next instrument, pick this one up, and here's the implant, I'll get the boxes for the circulating nurse, and she could open them up, and then I'll do the paperwork. If that is all you are doing, you are nothing more than a glorified scrub tech. Now, if you feel a little bit insulted, fair enough, but let's be honest. The job is based on the activities required to do the job. Now, I'm not trying to demean scrub techs. Scrub techs do a great job, but the only difference between a scrub tech and the case coverage rep is the side of the table on which he or she is standing. That is it. Being a scrub tech is not a six-figure job. It just isn't. It has to do with market conditions, supply and demand, and the fact that there are myriad of people who are willing to work for what scrub techs are paid, whatever that is. What are medical sales professionals paid to do? Now, you could argue that case coverage might be a part of your job. In fact, let's be honest. In the orthopedic sector, case coverage has become a significant part of the job. Surgeons want a sales rep in the operating room during their surgeries. The operating room staff wants a sales rep in the room during the surgeries. But why? What is the reason for that? The reason is so if anything comes up, they could go to the sales rep and ask a question saying, oh, what do I use with this? You know, if I have this femoral hip stem, which head goes on it? If I want to increase the offset, how do I do that? In a total knee, does this combination of implants work? What size tibial component can I use with the femoral component? Can I use this type of patella with this? They basically want questions answered. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not take a highly paid six-figure medical sales professional to answer those questions. In fact, that is why hospitals are hiring and training their own in-house orthopedic device technicians, because they are able to do exactly that with the right training for a fraction of the cost. So it goes back again to what the job of the medical sales professional is, and that is not to cover cases. It is to grow the business in his or her territory. How does the medical sales professional do that? Well, they do it in a multitude of ways. But most notably, if you have to narrow it down to one thing, one reason why a surgeon will choose to do business with one sales representative over another, with one company over another, using one implant over another, it comes down to one word: value. The surgeon perceives value when he uses an implant from that company, when he works with that sales representative. That's it. So if you are finding yourself being pushed out of the operating room, then that is one area of value or one type of value that you are no longer needed to provide. They can pay someone much less money to do what you did in that area. So the question is, what type of value can you provide? How can you continue to provide value so that you maintain some level of importance with your customers? I think it's fair to say that we are at a point in time where your ability to create and demonstrate value is more important than ever before. And this depends on the conversations that you're having with your customers and what you're doing behind the scenes that you're able to make them aware of that makes you irreplaceable. Now, don't get me wrong. You might still be replaceable in the operating room, because I think it's pretty obvious. If they can pay someone to do what you did, I'm talking about the bread and butter cases, okay? I'm talking about the routine primary total hip replacements, total knee replacements. Perhaps if there's a complex surgery, a major reconstruction, a revision, a tumor case, it's going to take someone with a bit more expertise, which, by the way, is one area where you can provide value that a hospital-based orthopedic device technician cannot, unless that person has truly been trained into the depths and the intricacies of what a particular implant system can do. But the key areas for providing value haven't changed. Let me remind you again, for a surgeon, they are about being more efficient. How can you save a surgeon time? How can you increase the efficiencies in his practice, in the operating room for him? It's about reducing risk. It is incumbent upon them to reduce risk, not only for themselves, but for their patients, and also for the institutions, the hospitals where they operate, where they provide patient care. So what can you do to help them to reduce risk? Money. Can you help them to save money? Can you help them to make money? These are all highly prized value areas where if you are offering value in these areas consistently, you are not only able to differentiate yourself from your competition, but you become the de facto preferred vendor in that surgeon's mind. However, if the only value that you provide is your ability to cover a case in the operating room, the ability to schlep instruments and implants in, and the ability to select the right implants for the circulating nurse to open, and you have the ability to stand at the head of the table with a laser pointer and say, oh, this is the next instrument, you're in trouble. In fact, I think we're going to see the end of that in the years to come. The writing is on the wall. So right now, if you are in orthopedic implant sales, if you are in spinal sales, if you are in suture sales, endoscopic device sales, anything at all that is sold to and used in the operating room, your days are numbered unless you are able to provide a level of value that differentiates you from your competition and from the low price in-house device technicians who can do your job. Now, here's the good news for those of you who care enough to listen. Anytime you are faced with challenges in an industry such as healthcare, there are numerous opportunities that underlie those challenges. Think about all of the businesses that are going to be created to support this new repless model. They're evolving right now. But let's go to you as a sales representative with a company that you enjoy working for right now. You may see things going from less of a sales representative model to more of an account management model, which means for those of you who are very good at account management, who can deliver value in those areas, your continued employment can be assured. However, if you're just going to sit on your laurels and try to ride out the current dying model, which has been in existence for the last 100 years, at some point, the axe is going to fall. You're going to find yourself out of work. That's just a reality. So it's time to adapt. It's time to decide that you are going to differentiate yourself from your competition and from the hospital-based technicians who are doing your work. You're going to find new ways to add value, not only to your provider, to your customer, but also to the company that you work for. See, healthcare sales isn't going away. There are still going to be a lot of jobs that pay very, very well, but the roles are going to shift, and your ability to shift with them will determine how successful you are in healthcare sales moving forward. I also want to point out that your ability to communicate effectively with your customers by having relevant discussions, in other words, relevant to what they do every day, your ability to do that will determine your success or failure down the road. If your selling skills, specifically your medical selling skills, are questionable in any way, you're in trouble. This isn't an area where you want to hope that your skills are solid. And if you're a sales manager or a VP of sales, this message goes to you as well. You need to determine and assess the selling skills in your sales team. Don't assume them. I could tell you as a professional who works with medical sales teams every day in one way or another, either by coaching, by delivering keynotes, or by delivering training workshops, I could tell you that their level of skills are not nearly close to being what they think they are or what their organizations think they are, because most organizations do not assess their sales team selling skills on a regular basis. This is not the time to learn that your competition has better trained, more articulate, more effective, more valuable salespeople than you do. Because when you find that out, by the time you find that out, the business is gone. We live in a changing world. Skills are everything. Understanding the marketplace and the customer are everything. Medical sales professionals need the skills necessary to have different conversations than they've had with their customers in the past. If you need help with that, give me a call. I could help you if you're a company. I could help you if you're an individual. But let me be honest, if you do nothing, if you just leave it to chance, well, I think you know what happens when you leave things to chance. You have the ability to make a difference. It's all about having relevant conversations and providing value to your customers from this point forward. And value is not what you think it is. It's what they think it is. And it requires you having the right conversations and asking the right questions to determine the type of value they expect so you can deliver it. I hope this has been helpful. It might not have been inspiring in the way that you want it to be, but hopefully it's been enough to motivate you to take the kind of action that's required if you want to survive and thrive in this changing age of affordable care. For the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, this is Mace Haroff. And don't forget, no matter what you do in this industry, the patient always comes first. I'll talk to you soon.